All right, Proverbs 4. Mike, I know you're past Proverbs 4, so this won't be a bother, I hope. Proverbs 4, verse 1. We talked about wisdom and knowledge and understanding this morning, first in Colossians 1:9. So Proverbs 4:1, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all you're acquiring, get understanding. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that wisdom is defined by you, that we are wise when we do your will. We are full of insight when we follow you. And yet, Lord, it is not valued as it should be. And so we see verses like this, commands like this. And Lord, there's no excuse for a Christian. We know the world is steeped in foolishness and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. But Lord, your people should love it. And I pray, Lord, we would, even as we look at this tonight, be ever more captivated by getting understanding and getting wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a country song I may have mentioned once before. I don't know if it's very popular, but the lyrics of the first verse, I think, is I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, because Mama tried. Here's a young man in this song who, at the age of 21, has already ruined his life. And you see this, by the way, on the news very often. Someone's made a terrible misjudgment of their life and they've ruined it by some misdeed. So this 21-year-old in this song has ruined his life and is set to spend the rest of his life in prison with no hope of ever getting out. Now, you can't do anything from that point to prevent it. It's happened. Going back is, you need a time machine. But he had a mama that tried to turn him from his evil ways. Mama tried. The problem was he didn't listen to his mother. Now, that's a problem a lot of young people have. They think they're smarter than their parents. So they go their own way and figure it's going to work out and that it doesn't, and then you're in a bad spot. His mother, even in the song, pleaded with him, but her pleading he denied, trying to make him a better person, trying to warn him off the path he was on, trying to keep him from going off the cliff with his life. But no, he was too headstrong. So he rejected all of Mama's pleadings. And so, although she tried, he ultimately paid the consequences for his stubborn foolishness. So, Solomon in Proverbs pleads with his sons to get wisdom. Now, he addresses it in 4:1, O sons, hear the instruction of a father. That they would have wisdom, and the book talks about wisdom and knowledge and insight and understanding, to be able to have discretion, to see what's going on around you and make the right choice. A lot of things seem pretty simple to figure out, and people can't figure them out. That if you do this, it's not going to work. I'm not talking about just politicians, they do that all the time, but just people who should know better. We often say, well, they should know better than that. But they don't. And wisdom and knowledge and insight and understanding is not the same as having a high IQ, and where you can excel in, upper echelon kind of studies. Theory of relativity, Einstein's theory of relativity. It's hard to make sense of that for even high IQ people. And having a high IQ doesn't do you much with God. It's not a sin, but a lot of people who have a great deal of intelligence, natural intelligence, don't know the Lord. And they should, you would think, use their brain to figure stuff out. Nature itself points us to God. Not everyone can grasp calculus. My wife, I'm proud to say, was able to learn calculus to the point where she could teach CEQA calculus for homeschooling. But calculus is a tough road. Every Christian can be wise in the ways of God and walk in his ways. That's what he does when he saves us. He gives us a new heart and a new mind. And as we see in Proverbs, calls us to get wisdom. He calls us to get it. We can get it. We can get it. Through the gospel, all the unconverted can have a new mind and understand God's ways. They come out of darkness into light. Well, however they were living before, the philosophies that they live by, they can overcome by the light of the gospel. It's further intensified here by the fact that there's an intimate connection between Solomon and his sons. We can care about others doing the right thing, and we want others to do the right thing, but especially a father and a mother want their sons and daughters to do the right thing. Others do the wrong thing, and the families suffer, but if it's not our family, it's not hitting us as hard. But when our own children walk in an unwise fashion, it's extremely intensified. Obviously, the book of Proverbs is for every son and daughter and every person because its commodity is wisdom, and that's universally beneficial to every person. Proverbs is about the wise and the foolish. It makes it very simple. There are wise people, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are foolish people, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, a loving father wants his son to avoid the pitfalls of foolishness, just like did in this song. Especially, you wouldn't want other families to suffer necessarily, but especially your own children. And yet, there is a strong pull in us to do what we want in spite of all the warnings we get from parents, and people are naive and youth lack discretion naturally. We're still building that up. That's one thing parents do is build up discretion in a child, enable them to figure it out. Stealing candy from a baby is a saying, because a baby is very gullible. You just take the candy from her. You can convince a child of all sorts of things if because they're naive. They haven't learned yet. They're simple. And so we fill them with knowledge and wisdom. And the goal of any parent is to have their children get it so they can live in this world. It's a very dangerous world if you're naive, if you're simple. People are always trying to take advantage of you. I've been called since November on my phone for Medicare things, house improvement, car warranties, all sorts of stuff. If I was gullible, well, I'd have nothing left. It's we're but we're naturally that way in the fact that we're not connected to God's wisdom until we're saved. And parents are careful of that. Even unsaved parents are careful. They don't want their precious child to plunge to destruction, to make their life harder than it needs to be. They want to be proud of their children. And they want their children to be safe and shielded from destructive influences. And self-destruction is one of the biggest problems that young people have. And so Proverbs spends quite a bit of time noting that in spite of the merciful pleading of a loving parent, children run off and practice foolishness. In Proverbs, you've got people who are told this is the way to go and they don't do it. You've got some that are told that and they do it. So there's that contrast all the time. I know this morning there's a time element to consider for getting wisdom. I think by nature, and children and adults believe that if we're given the command to say, get wisdom and get understanding, that we have our own leisure to get it in. If we want to get it now, we can get it now. If we don't get it now, we'll just get it later. This is the way people think. But Proverbs 1 says, well, that's not the case. The time is not determined by you, because a time will come that you'll be unwise, and after rejecting the call of wisdom, wisdom, once you get in trouble, and it depends on God, once you get in trouble, might say, listen, you had your chance when I called to you and you refused to answer, therefore you'll eat the fruit of your own ways. So there is an unspecified limit. Maybe you can put it off. Maybe you can put it off a month or two or a year, but there's no guarantee. Get wisdom is for now. It's a dangerous world without that. And the warning comes when you will seek it and not find it. And you'll call on the Lord and he will not hear you. Says it right there in Proverbs 1. The day you seek the Lord and he cannot be found. Now, that horrible day when God leaves you to your own devices to reap the consequences of your own behavior. Cindy said her mom would say, don't come crying to me when you get the consequences of doing this, because she's warning her. That was her thing. Don't come crying to me, after she warned you away from it. People like to think they have all the time in the world. We know adults feel that way. They probably said, a lot of adults, probably said years ago, one day they were really going to get down to business with God. They were going to turn to Jesus Christ. They were going to call upon him and be saved. And where, how's that going? They never to get to that, if that's their attitude. It's not up to us. The time is not set by us. Far more often do we find that wisdom delayed is wisdom lost. When people delay wisdom, they don't get wise. So the first thing is to get wisdom. This is what verses 1 through 7 speak of. It's almost like a redundancy. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, verse 7. You want to start with wisdom? Well, get wisdom. That's about as simple as it can get. Don't wait for it to get you. I want to be wise. I never heard anybody. I mean, some people glory in kind of bad grades at school, and they feel like, yeah, I don't know much, but I got a good car, kind of thing. Well, most people really want to be wise. Most people who took tests in my school, they wanted to score a good grade. So they wanted to have at least knowledge of, what the questions asked on the test were. They wanted to have a capacity for, learning and having knowledge and understanding. But they didn't really pursue it. Do you do your homework? Did you study? Did you listen in class? Did you apply yourself? I mean, there are differences in learning capacity, but a lot of it is just I don't care. And so they wait. And this is in verse 7, is not a wait for wisdom to get you. It's a get it yourself now. Have you noticed when a new restaurant opens up in town, and it's the food you like? Oh, and that people just say, well, I'm just going to wait here. I'm not going to go to the restaurant. I'm going to wait to see if they bring me food at my house. They don't do that. They go to the restaurant. A young man sees a pretty girl on campus, in college campus, and he just hides himself in the closet until she seeks him in the closet. No, not many do that. The ones that do that, we call bachelors. They pursue what they have interest in. When you're looking out your window and see $20 bills blowing into your yard, and you just go out and put a basket down in the yard and hope the $20 bills land in the basket? No, you go and you pick them up, find out where they fell from. Maybe they're free money, but you're going to go get them. Get wisdom means to get it and get it now. So many problems that people go through in childhood and youth and a young adult, and they go off to college, universities. So many problems would be solved if they got wisdom and got understanding and got knowledge right off the bat. And so this is what the aim is for Solomon, to get it now. Now, to give it to your children is a loving thing. He's not telling them to do things to hurt them. Oh, Dad. No, he's telling them out of love. The father speaks as to a child holding on for dear life who fell into a river that rushes toward a waterfall. And the dad is saying, hang on, son, until we can get you up out of the water. It's a treacherous place, and you cannot let go. The least delay means you might fail completely and go washing over the falls. Every child who gets addicted to drugs starts with the first one. They know it's not right. Probably going in. They know it's not a wise thing to do. We've had plenty of drug education. Drug education is not really the problem. It's the foolishness, taking a wrong choice. And this is Solomon saying, you take a wrong choice. There you go. He does it with other things. The immoral woman, he does it with her. You make a choice and it plunges you. So he wants his sons to start right and hold on to it. And so we see that in the very first 7 verses of this chapter. Careful teaching. Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. This isn't an optional thing. This is just a hobby. This is a life and death. In verse 8, prize her. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right, upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Wisdom is a reward in itself. To have wisdom is not, a way to get the best thing. It is the best thing. It's not like reading a book in school. We'd read a book and get a star on a chart. Your little star up on the chart, that's a motivational factor, external motivation. You see a star there, and you read the book. Of course, it doesn't say if you understood the book, if you learned anything from it, but it's a start for some places to recognize that you've been faithful to at least read the book. Well, this isn't the same thing as that. Wisdom is a prize itself. Verse 9, it likens it to a garland. A garland in races at that time was the award for winning a prize, a race. The prize winning a race was a garland, or they put it on your head as a crown of beauty. It showed that you had conquered in a contest. You'd won. It gives a certain amount of honor to you. And it's in itself a prize, wisdom. The garland is a recognition that you won. Wisdom is a demonstration that you are always at the best place. Whether anybody recognizes it or not, it's inside you, to you, and to those around you. What a blessed thing it is for children to have wise parents, to be instructed and to grasp understanding early. There is a bunch of stuff out there that would keep a child from that. And what a blessing to have careful, God-fearing parents who just want to have their child achieve the greatest in life, and the greatest is to be wise. Everything else from that flows into a lot of good things. It says it adds years to your life. I take that to mean that what we often see is that people, burn the candle on both ends in wickedness. Their lives are shortened. They do foolishness. You learn to drive. I was talking to Lindsay this morning. She was talking about driving, and I know Addison is driving now with permits. The number one thing about driving, I think it's number one, is just stay on the road, on your side of the road. And if you drive off the road, you're going to have a lesser chance to live a long life, because your life, your driving is self-destructive. And that is the way foolish behavior is. It is self-destructive. It shortens your life. You get into things that are not healthy. And so self-destruction is avoided in wisdom. Now, God governs the time that we live. We're told in Scripture that all the days are written for us before we live any of them. But as far as we're concerned, living in wisdom prolongs our lives, because we're not doing anything to destroy ourselves. Now, if God makes our lives short just because it's His will, that's His will. But we didn't self-destruct in that scenario. We didn't shorten our lives from foolish behavior. And a parent always wants their child to have as long and full a life as they possibly can, to have a family, to have children, to have grandchildren, to have a nice living, to matter in the world. Wisdom keeps you from things that would hinder your steps. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. There's no mystery to why some families fail and some lives fail, because they walk in crooked ways. So to progress on a crooked road is very hard. The way of the transgressor, it's hard. So when you walk off the path, you're not going to achieve life. You stumble, you're impeded, your own actions get in your way. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. She's not just part of life. To be wise is life itself. The world has a different philosophy and ideology. And notice what's happened with people in the world. We've had several ideologies pop up that are just crazy, men being women, all that stuff, the gender deal. And that's not the only one. And people, rather than, pushing against it, we got a whole bunch of people who believe it, hold on to it, think it's a human right. But they do that because of a inbred foolishness. They've not sought wisdom. They've not sought instruction. They've not become wise. And when you're not wise, That's what can happen. You might be a full-grown man with a beard dressing in a dress and pretending to be a woman. That's in the ballpark if you reject wisdom. Foolishness becomes your life. And the belief that the happiest people are the most foolish. Oh, I'm so fulfilled, they'll say. And the devil lies to young people. And many school systems reinforce the lies. Rather than correcting them, they double down on them. And so our kids need biblical instruction, spiritual wisdom. It's a loving parent's further concern that children stay away from evil influences. You ever hear a parent tell their children, "Why don't you go down to the drug den down in the inner city, hang out there for a while, learn how the world is?" No, they won't do that. If you'll note in Genesis, after the fall, everything was great in the garden until the fall. After the fall, and you got several generations there in the first few chapters of Genesis, the entire world becomes a magnet to evil. The whole world, it turns out, by the time of Noah, was all bad. That's how powerful of a draw the world has. And if a child is not brought up in the way that they should go, if they do not grasp wisdom and understanding and knowledge early, then they're drawn to that. The enemy was everywhere, is everywhere around us. The whole world became a net to ensnare foolish people and give them a life of hopelessness, always promising a better life in rebellion against God and never delivering because it cannot be delivered. So in verse 14, Solomon says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." People have been, scratching and defacing Teslas for crying out loud. And some of the people are doing it. I mean, not kids doing it. We got professors in colleges doing it. Because it's crazy. And there's an emptiness of wisdom there to where a person would say, "Well, what is exactly going to happen if I scratch this Tesla? How is the world going to be better?" You think Elon Musk is saying, "Just a couple more Teslas defaced, and I'm going to, stop all this trying to, get rid of all the, this the fraud in government. I'm just going to stop." No, nobody's ever do that. How many more people have to glue themselves to the highway and before we say, "Okay, we're stopping all carbon and we're stopping all internal combustion engines and we're going to go all green." How long is that going to be? To even think about it, there's nothing there in the mind. It's vapor. And yet this is what people do. And you enter the path of the wicked, you end up in the path of the wicked. The path of the upright, verse 18, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. When I was sick, I was waking up and being up, and it was still dark. I like to wake up and there be light if I can. And oh, the blessedness of when the morning would come and the sun would come up, and it would be such a different mood. You're sick at night, oh. But when the sun would come up, it was a blessed thing. But the path of the wicked is darkness, verse 19 says. It's a perpetual stumbling. They do not know over what they stumble. Now, that's interesting. There are many things that can be pointed out in society that are causing people to stumble. Those things are not being attempted to be removed. They hold on to those. Say, "Well, we don't want to get rid of that." Well, that's what they're stumbling over. Oh, no, we want to keep that. They don't know what they're stumbling over. That's foolishness. Now, at this point, the world likes to confuse the issue by saying, who are you to tell us how we're supposed to live? Who are you? It's my life. Who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to live? That is a product of atheism, practical atheism, not necessarily theoretical atheism. That is a product of practical atheism. It's also a product of a lack of understanding of the authority of Scripture, and that is God's word. And when you don't have that understanding of Scripture, if you do have it, the dividends pay off right away. But if you deny the inspiration authority of Scripture, you start reaping consequences, because God is the one who can tell us how to live. And a lack of belief in God, practically, to where we know God is holy, we know God has law, we know God has a will. The lack of understanding that means people are saying, "Well, who are you to tell me how to live?" Well, I'll tell you who God is to tell you how to live. He's the one that made us. He's the one that designed us. He's the one that commands us. He's the sovereign. That's who tells us. People like to pull it down to a human plane, a horizontal. So there's a loss of authority and insight to where people say, "Well, yeah, you're right. There's no authority. There is an authority." The world doesn't like to think vertically. They don't like to think of God being in heaven and we're on earth. We have to do His will. They like to think horizontally. Look at all these other people. They don't have any command over us, and that's true. But God is over all of us. People don't get that. That's a lack of understanding. They try to muddy the waters, make it like it's a, equality issue or an authority issue among men. It's an authority issue from God. Now, the close of this chapter reinforces the idea that once you're on the right path, you should never depart from it. Verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart." You put groceries in your car. You go to the grocery store, put groceries in your car. You probably close the door, close the trunk, try to seal them in. You don't want them flying out, especially if you have a truck. You don't want them flying out and out onto the road. You want to keep them in the vehicle. Well, wisdom is to be kept within us, for there are life to those who find them and health to all their body, verse 22. Special attention is given to the parts of us as they relate to pursuing and gaining wisdom. Verse 23 is the heart. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." I've been accused of never eating broccoli. That may be true. I may have blocked it out of my memory, and if I did. Spinach I have tasted before, and I've got experience on that. But some of you have entered into that broccoli world and you love it. Well, that's okay. It's not a sin. But when it comes to the heart, God says, don't let things in your heart that are going to stick there, because out of it are the issues of life. You muddy the water at the source, the water is going to be muddy coming out of the source. So watch your heart with all diligence. Again, it's not something you put yourself in neutral and hope the world doesn't contaminate you. You keep yourself from it, not the world, but from the contamination. Jesus prayed in John 17, not that we'd be taken out of the world, but that we kept from the evil of the world and the evil one. Also, your mouth, your heart in verse 23, your mouth in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Don't train your mouth to speak deception and lies. So your mouth, you got to watch. I think I've heard a lot of people being told to watch your mouth, and we know what they mean. Your eyes, verse 25, Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight ahead of you. That means you've got a way that you mark out that you're supposed to go, and you don't deviate from it. You don't entertain the deviation from it. You don't think about doing that. You can always tell if somebody really wants to be away from something, they stay away from it. But if they kind of not altogether against it, they'll wander closer to it. They'll go that direction, with the intention of not giving in to it. So your heart, your mouth, your eyes, and finally your feet. Verse 26, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. So we have a lot of mechanisms, physical parts that direct our way. Well, we're to make sure those parts, heart, mouth, eyes, and feet, are going the right way. That keeps us out of trouble, keeps us away from evil. And God really tells us this because He wants the best for His creation, just like a father. He's our creative father for every person. He's a heavenly father for His children. His commands are good. You go through all the Psalm 119, all how good the commandments of God are. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day, because it's good for us. We know that when we read the Word of God, we are reading that which is good for us. Can't get that in the news, but you can sure get it with the Word of God. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom lie along the path of what is best for us in the eyes of God. Let's pray. Lord, you've not left us, even in rebellion from the garden. You've not left us without your instruction, that we can look at your law, look at your word, look at your will, and be protected and guided, and not just on the defensive, but on the offensive of living life to the fullest. Lord, may we be wise. May our children be wise to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.